Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. Is this a winning streak? After all that hellacious hockey that was being played at the end of December, we've gone a little bit of streaking to open up 2019, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark here, your only Sharks postgame show tonight, babies. Brody and the boys have taken the night off. If Brody wants to join, I'm just saying he's got the link. I'm your host, AJ Strong. Tonight with me, we have Eric Landy.
Hey, boys, it was a really good win, and we're going streaking.
Well, you are a purveyor of horizontally striped shirts, aren't you, my friend? Chris JWS up in the house.
I never wear striped shirts for what it's worth, so I'm here to balance them out.
Oh, is that what it is? No, I saw Landy at the game, Tampa Bay. He was looked like he was in town for a Cal Bear game, to be honest. You know it's true.
Yeah, no, I know it's true.
So, let's get into this one. This was game 3 of 4 versus LA. The previous two matches went to overtime. And let's be honest, until LA took that hella dudes penalty towards the end of the third, this one had all the makings of yet another overtime win. But the Sharks come away victorious here in game 44 out of 82. So a couple of notes before we get into the first. Bizarrely, Jonathan Quick was first off the ice for LA this morning in warmups, but for some reason he did not get the start. Campbell didn't see anything regarding why that is. Schimmick back in the lineup, and Middleton would sit out after his very first NHL start versus Tampa Bay. So to get into the first, starts off at 10:17, really, with Muzzin tripping Pavelski. Nice trip right along the boards. Again, most of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, I hope you follow us at Teal Town USA on Twitter, because we have GIFs of almost everything we're going to be talking about. Nothing really coming from that power play, which would be something that would happen throughout this game. But at 17:43, Donskoy would clean the garbage a little bit. This was awesome. So Erik Karlsson, I'm not even sure where he was passing that to, but he just shoots it directly at Dustin Brown. It deflects off him. Kane grabs it, puts a shot on net. Campbell serves up a rebound. Donskoy deposits, and there you go. And Erik Karlsson, 13-game point streak. Well, it's not a streak because he was suspended for 2 games, but 13 consecutive appearances. Chris, I mean, that Donskoy, talk about a guy who's needed to get off the schneid and is heating up. This is like, you know, he's got points, I think, in like 4 consecutive games now.
Yeah, finally heating up. I forget what the stat line Jamie Baker gave, but he was cold as ice until very recently, and that's good to see. I mean, a lot of guys are starting to heat up right now because, you know, not just are they starting to win, but they're getting consistency and not having terrible games and good and bad, you know, like good shark, bad shark. So it's good to see them get the first goal, because we know with LA Kings matchups, honestly, you can kind of throw out the records. It could be a blowout or it could be a very tight game, even if one team's at the top, the other's at the bottom. So it's good to get that first goal. AJ, you're muted.
You're muted, bro.
AJ appears to have lost his microphone. So let's take over the. Let's take over. It's our show now, Andy. talk all kinds of terrible things about AJ. So, what was your thoughts on that first goal?
I mean, just you could just see the elite vision of Karlsson, and I really like the fact that you know he's pressing play now, and you can really see that. He's very comfortable in the offense, and I think it's finally tuned to the way that he kind of plays. And you know what? Like you were saying kind of a little bit off air, somebody's going to be sneaking up on Burns here.
Yeah, I think he's within 10 points of him now after, you know, he had a pretty cold start to the season. Some of it was bad luck. Some of it was he was still learning how to play here and, you know, getting used to not being in Ottawa anymore. And yeah, no, it's good to see that he's really starting to fit in. And I was never really that worried. I was like, this guy has been the model of consistency for the past 10 years. So you figured he was going to figure it out. He was going to get together. And I mean, he's especially since that suspension, he's really been on a tear. Just I don't blame him. He's probably kind of pissed off after that.
Yeah. I mean, since the suspension. Oh, there he is.
Puck guy's internet. What happened there?
I have no idea. I turned on this fan and all of a sudden everything went out. It could be that like Puck guy was just driving by on his way home from the game and just like him being that close. I probably may have gotten a little AOL on me, to be honest.
AOL energy got on you. God, that AOL. That little yellow man energy.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know where you guys were.
we were just chatting a little bit about Carlson, but you can go on to the next score.
Well, I want to finish up on the first period. I mean, dumbass Dustin. I don't know what the hell that was. Oh, why, thank you, Laurel. Let's see here. So after that, after Donskoy's goal, the hitting immediately picked up, and it would finish shots on goal, San Jose 12, LA 7. It started off 5 for LA, 1 for San Jose through, like, the first 6.5 minutes of this game, or first 7.5, I'm sorry. So that's way to come back. 44% from the Sharks in the circle through the first period. In the second, the Sharks would have one shot on goal through 7.5 minutes to LA's 5, kind of mirroring the first. But at 3:42, Kopitar from Brown and Covey. Solid passing on this one. This is, you know, Jones had not done better than had not gone over 905 only once in his save percentage over the last 5 games. So tonight was very nice, but you can't fault Jones for that one, Eric.
No, you can't. I mean, look, it was kind of a bang bang play. Erik Karlsson is caught, you know, a little bit out of position. He's not able to get a stick on Kopitar back of the net. Yeah, it happens. But overall, you know, you like the way that Martin Jones is playing right now after this game. Very much square to the shooter, very much coming out and challenging. And, you know, he's putting together a couple good games. And, you know, let's see it continue. I hope he gets kind of out of the doldrums here with his save percentage.
He's probably like, hey, guys, could you let a few more easy shots through just so I can kind of pad that percentage a bit, because they've been pretty good at suppressing shots too. I think that's helped him in some ways, but it's meant that if he lets a couple goals in, doesn't have the greatest save percentage, but in the end, if he makes the important saves and he doesn't let in bad ones, I mean, is the save percentage really that it's just a number in the end?
That's true.
It's just a number. So at 9:09, oh, this is one you write home about. If you haven't seen this one, at Teal Town USA on Twitter, go look at the GIF of this one. EK65 with a fantastic stretch pass hits Hurdle, who comes streaking down and gets just a beautiful top shelf backhander, completely fools Campbell, doesn't know where that's going. That was just and this was following a great cycle by the Kings. They were really contesting and holding their zone at that point. And as soon as EK65 got the puck, Hurdle just streaking down the ice. You couldn't have drawn it up any better. And the Sharks really poured it on after that one. I thought. I mean, Chris, how can you not say enough good things about that pass? The EK65 hashtag might be good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about him. I heard he was okay in Ottawa.
You know, a few of those trophies there sitting on the mantle, you know,
couple trophies, and the stretch pass didn't really surprise me because you could see him doing some of that early in the season. I just don't think the rest of the team knew where to be and how to work with him, but he showed pretty good handle at getting those stretch passes out of the zone early. And then, yeah, once everyone else kind of learned where to be and what he was capable of there, now they're getting a lot of those every game. I mean, not all of them are leading to goals like that, but a lot of them are leading to dangerous chances, getting good zone entries, you know, creating pressure and cycles. So good to see, and great finish by Hurdle.
Oh, it was fantastic. And fun note, fun fact, that was the first assist for Martin Jones as a Shark. He got the secondary assist on Hurdle's goal.
Kind of surprised he hasn't managed to get one before that just by accident.
Right? You would think. And then
4 years, so.
Yeah. But I also wanted to kind of chime in on the fact that Hurdle is got a better points pace than his explosive rookie season.
Wow. That's insane. And the fact that he's like played at center for like the last five games.
So here's a stat line. In his rookie season, he had 37 games played with 25 points. His shooting percentage was at 15%. This year, 38 games played. He did have a few lost to injury. He's got 33 points, and he's only shooting at a 16% clip, which is better than his yearly average. So, you know, he's definitely rounding into form, guys, and definitely getting that center that we thought we were drafting.
Yes, finally. At 17-18, Haglin would go to the box for roughing Ryan. Again, the Sharks power play not doing a whole hell of a lot tonight, unfortunately. They had a couple good looks in this one, but still not enough to put one through. Shots on goal after the second, even at 10 each. But San Jose would do better in the faceoff. Now 49-51 in favor of LA. So, the third, it was swallow the whistle time. Although most of this game kind of was, we saw Phaneuf like knee Meyer's head in the boards. There was a trip. I'm trying to remember who it was, but there was a trip along the boards. The official staring right at it, no call, and it's like, okay, you guys want to swallow the whistles? I'm fine with that. I got no problems with that. Until 17:40 of the third, where it's one of those penalties you can't swallow. It's hella mans. So,
or as we call in California, hella dudes.
Hella dudes. Hella dudes.
So, credit to Chelina Goldman.
Yes. And so, of course, because of that, it makes it very difficult for LA to pull Campbell and get the extra attacker. But they would. And Jumbo would get the empty netter. And if you see the GIF, Doughty just kind of slowly sliding away. It was very beautiful. Shots on goal in the third, 7 for the Sharks, only 6 for LA, and it took them 8 minutes to get their second shot on goal. You would have thought that LA would have been a little more urgency to their game when you're down a goal, but it is what it is. Final comments for you guys before we go to the chat window. But first, I want to welcome everybody who is watching us live right now. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. We do this after every single Sharks game. Do us a favor, if you would, hit the subscribe button, maybe a little notification bell. It'll notify you whenever we go live. And sometimes we have random special guests that jump on. A couple of games ago versus Colorado, Brody Brazil jumped on with us for quite some time. It was awesome. So if you would hit that subscription button, follow us on Twitter at Teal Town USA. For your final thoughts for that third period, Chris, what did you think of that?
It was a lot like the rest of the game, is kind of an ugly slogging type of thing. I mean, it's Sharks and Kings, you know, it's going to be ugly. There's going to be chippiness. And while the Sharks' power play was unimpressive all game, they did technically get a power play goal there to help that percentage. You know, figure that offsets all the time if they have great power plays that don't score. But, you know, they finished the game. LA scared me for a second or two there during the – I forget. They had a couple really good rushes. But, you know, overall, hey, a win's a win in the end, even if it's ugly.
Hell yeah. Eric?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, it was a hard kind of fought battle. The neutral zone was really contested. So to come away with a hard fought victory, I mean, these are the games that you got to win, and it's good to see them put the points in the bank.
Yeah, and for those of you playing at home, LeBanc played all of 90 seconds in the third and had his ass stapled to the bench for the rest of the period. Hello, maybe Francis Perron. Hi, like point per game pace. Gambrell very close behind him. We'll see what happens. Rob Iman in the chat. Does Middleton get sent back to the CUDA after tomorrow? Wouldn't surprise me. My question is, does Middleton see a game tomorrow? I don't know. He was scaring me a couple times. I'm not going to lie, boys.
I don't think he's playing all that bad, to be honest. There was a couple giveaways that I thought were a little egregious, but he kind of got back into defensive position pretty well. And just looking at the ice time distributions as well, kind of feel like, you know, he was kind of relied upon to play some heavy minutes. So from that perspective.
Yeah, on defense, it looks like they were a little bit more evenly distributed than they were last game. You know, we're not seeing any 30 minutes from Carlson and Burns. It's a little bit more closer, you know, 26, 27 respectively. So that's a little bit closer to normal, especially on a back-to-back.
Yeah. Three stars of the night. Donkey got third with a goal. Hurdle second with a goal. And of course, EK65 with three apples. I mean, you talk about a guy who's pouring it on. It's like he wants to catch Kucherov for most points in the NHL right now. fact or fiction from Rob. The Oilers become sellers at the deadline. I don't put anything past Chiarelli. You know, besides McDavid, I don't know that anything is stapled down in Edmonton.
Yeah, maybe Draisaitl, but that's about it.
We'll see. We will see. Skyler said something about three mystery pucks, but I missed it if there was an earlier question on that.
There's compliments in there on Landy's laundry pile from Black Chevy CA.
Yeah, and my chest hair too.
Oh, dear Lord.
I mean, you are part Italian, right?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, yeah. Guilty as charged. We have 69 watching. It's hilarious. That means we got to have 69 thumbs up. Let's get some thumbs up in here.
Andrew Desjardins, number of viewers. Old school Desjardins, that is.
Oh, yes.
That's a good callback. Lacey saying Middleton should be back with the CUDA for Wednesday's game. Yes. The CUDA released DeJong from his PTO and brought up no one from the ECHL. All right, so you have that. I'd like to see Perron get a look. I mean, if LeBanc's ass is going to be stapled, I mean, give somebody else a look, would you? Holy hell. Holy hell.
You may have just summoned Ian, though. I mean, just mentioning LeBanc in a negative context, I expect Ian to just appear out of thin air right here.
How dare you.
Right?
There was something else that popped onto my radar. What in the world was it? Let's look here at a couple of these numbers. Melker Carlson, 944. Goodrow, 1015. Has Goodrow finally barked his way out of the PDB doghouse?
I believe he has, AJ. I believe he has.
Yeah, it's about time. Good job on them. I'm still not happy with the power play of late. Go figure, especially if you look at my lower third right now. But kudos to the Sharks for playing yet another disciplined game, not taking a single penalty. It feels like this is one for Uncle Darren, but this, I think, is maybe like the fourth, possibly the fifth game that the Sharks have played this season without taking a penalty. I can't remember the last time that's happened.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what they're like, where they rank in terms of penalty minutes on the season when you remove fights, of course, because that kind of skews things. But also against the Kings, I don't worry about the power play percentage as much, just because they, you know, they know the Sharks inside out. This is not the same Kings team of a few years ago, but, you know, they know the Sharks. They know what they like to do. They know their methods. If there's a team that can probably give them trouble on the power play, it's them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these teams know each other inside and out, and you're going to have low scoring games, and you're going to have games where, you know, it's going to be the thinnest of margins, you know, razor like margins to, you know, victory, I guess.
Well, familiarity breeds contempt, but it also it breeds interesting games. I mean, that's why with a lot of divisional rivals, you know, big time, usually you can kind of throw out the records. Who, it doesn't matter who's on top, who's on bottom. They know each other well, and so they know how to nullify some of their best attributes. So, yeah, with Kings games, I don't worry as much about style as much as getting those 2 points. And it was good that this one did not go to overtime since they have a game against the Oilers tomorrow.
I like that. Let's see here. Felix, LA will have a fire sale by trade deadline. I mean, aside from Kopitar and Doughty, I mean, they seem to have a lot of faith in Campbell. I mean, could this be the end of the Quick era in LA?
Well, isn't he like signed to like a monstrous contract?
Yeah, yeah. Just go look on LA Kings Twitter because they'll say X number more years that our goalie will be ready better than the rest of the, you know, that. You know, they like to talk a lot on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So should we start talking about EK65 re-signing? You know, that's there's that February, you know, that February deadline where he can sign the 8-year deal.
I think we probably talk about that in February. I got to be honest. When we were like coming up close to like Thanksgiving, I was thinking, you know, there's no way in hell this guy signs here. You know, he's having an awful start to the year. You know, obviously some personal issues and you know, I'm sure he was very happy to get out of Ottawa, at least out of the Senators organization. But when a guy calls his place his forever home, it makes me go, maybe signing him is not going to be the easiest thing to do. But now you see the, I mean, best shark since what, December 1st. And is just pouring it on.
Yeah, I figured it might be a little harder if he's having a rough start here. But I was so sure. I was like, there's no way this guy goes like 4 or 5 months and doesn't get his act together. Just if you just look how consistent he's been. I don't read too much into that forever home comment just because, I mean, I can identify with that a little bit where, you know, I live here, but San Jose is kind of my forever home in my heart. And I understand what he means, you know, he grew up there in a lot of ways. Like after, you know, 10 years there, he basically became an adult there. He got married there, I think. So I wouldn't read too much into that comment.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So let's sidestep things for a hot second because we were talking about him. We were talking at least about a couple guys. So the Barracuda, after having a ridiculous streak of wins and just beating the crap out of everybody, it seemed like, haven't hit the skids, but are playing 500 hockey now, I think, over about the last 10, where it's loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. Very 500 over their last 10. The nice thing being is that they have 2 against the Ontario Reign. this Wednesday, this Friday, and then Sunday versus the Stockton Heat. For those of you who don't know, Ontario, the affiliate to the LA Kings, they're just about as good as the LA Kings and about in the same spot in their respective division. Stockton, not much better. So take a look. Again, Barracuda playing Ontario, both of these home games, this Wednesday and this Friday. So go check out some Barracuda hockey. Again, I want to see Francis Perron get a look if LeBanc is going to be set. I mean, 28 games played, 27 points, and very even. 13 goals, 14 assists. Come on, this kid is begging to be called up.
I mostly want him to get a look so I don't have to hear you want him to get a look anymore. That's kind of how I feel at this point.
That's
please, just, yeah. Just so AJ can move on to something else.
But, you know, the other guy that I'm looking at, too, though, is Alexander True. I mean, a center, 26 points in 31 games. I mean,
I don't know. Goodrow seems to have locked that down.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing that I've heard, too, is that Antti Suomela is starting to pick things up a little bit, too.
I don't know about that. He had Suomela, he had a goal his first game with the Cuda. Since then, in 10 games, he's had 3 assists. Mm. So I'd expect a little more from Sumo.
Rob, I'm in the chat saying he thinks LeBanc would clear waivers for refresher course the CUDA. I don't think so. I tend to think, I mean, Landy, what's your opinion?
Oh, there's no way that kid's getting through waivers. I mean, look, you could pick him up for free. A team like Ottawa or a team like LA, just to spite us, would pick somebody up like that, you know? So why risk that?
Not having a good go right now, but he does have a unique set of skills when he's on. And, you know, all the things Ian says.
But, you know, the thing is his skills are very good. He's a top nine kind of player, but, you know, he's stuck in a fourth line role right now. And that's, you know, that's kind of sad. And with the team playing as well as it is, his butt's going to be stapled to the fourth line and stapled on the bench.
And he's one of those guys you can actually put out there on the power play, kind of round that out.
Well, and possibly, you know, LeBanc could have that syndrome like that we've seen with other guys, that they play well when they're put with good players. But when they're put with players that are lower in their skill set, like a Melker and a Goody, that maybe the best doesn't arrive. But I have to, before going any further, I cannot believe, Chris, you said that phrase and did not use the opportunity to quote Liam Neeson.
Oh, I it was in my head, but do we have that on the soundboard?
No, I have a very particular set of skills. It's the best.
That was a little more Sean Connery than Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yes, we're finding Forster.
Oh, your mother, Trebek.
Welcome to
suck
the
it long rock. And suck it hard.
Welcome to the rock. All right. So evidently tonight, filling in the douchebag role of Dustin Brown was one Dion Phaneuf.
he's still playing?
Dude, he knees Myers' head into the boards. Then later he got into it with Goodrow in front of Campbell and took an inadvertent high stick to his face, which was awesome after trying to screw with Goodrow. And I kind of want to give some props to Goody on that, because I think he kind of took advantage of the fact that the refs are not calling anything in this game. So if I inadvertently fall and my stick kind of just flies up and, oh, it just happens to hit, Dion in the face, so be it.
He could also go all Sean Avery on him, too.
Yes. Rob Iman, I think Phaneuf will be waived after February. I would bet that. I would join you in that.
It feels like Phaneuf's been around a lot longer, but I guess he's only 33. I don't know. He feels like he's been around to me since forever.
Yeah. Alden, you're the man, dude. Pull the Kermit does Liam Neeson thing.
And Kevin pointed out in the chat, you know, like Kevin Lacey, that is, agreeing with us that there's pretty much no way that he would, LeBanc would clear waivers with, you know, his production in past seasons and his age. There's just no way. And we can put him in the press box if we have to. We don't need to send him down.
Yeah, the other thing too is let's get some guys healthy. Again, I'm really interested to see Braun. From what I remember, he cannot play. He's on retroactive IR, so he can't come in back until the game versus Vegas on Thursday, if I recall correctly. Vlasic still day to day. Look, I'm one of those guys where is this the first time the Sharks have won two games in a row without Vlasic in the lineup, since Vlasic has been a Shark? Because remember, it seems like every other time the Sharks lost Vlasic, the Sharks would just go right into the dumpster.
Well, I mean, he was their defensive stalwart, and let's be honest, he hasn't really been that this season. I'm not trying to talk him down while he's injured, but my worry when he went down is more who steps in for him than we're losing those minutes, because honestly his minutes this season have not been very good. I'm hoping some time off ice will help him get his head right, and if he comes back looking like the old Vlasic, watch out, because this team suddenly is a hell of a lot better.
I mean, look, the defense core right now is just, I was there watching against Tampa Bay in you know, in person. And I felt like the defense was really focused on moving the puck out of the defensive zone very quickly. It didn't seem like it was getting stymied back there too often. It was giving up high danger chances, but, you know, for the most part, it was moving it out of the defensive zone very quickly. I think what we're seeing with Vlasic this year is that he is getting stymied in the defensive zone, and he is trying to revert back to his tools of, you know, really dominant stick play. And so he kind of gets stuck back there, and then that's kind of why he has, you know, a horrible plus minus rating right now.
Well, I mean, obviously I want to see him come back to form, but it wouldn't kill me to see Vlasic sit another day and see Middleton go down, and maybe D. Simone comes up, give somebody else a shot or something, just to see what they can do for a game. Although we know that Edmonton, you talk about a team that is hit and miss. Sharks have faced Edmonton twice this season, obviously last time being that ridiculous 7-4 victory at the end of December. In November, it was a 4-3 overtime loss to Edmonton. In talking to Drew Remenda, you can tell he's even a little perplexed with this. And remember the last time we faced Edmonton, what was it? The Ty Ratty goal. It was initially given to Ty Ratty, and then they reviewed it and somehow gave it to McDavid, even though the play would have been dead before McDavid even touched the puck. So, I look forward to more fun shenanigans versus Edmonton tomorrow night. Again, for those of you new to the program, welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Teal Town USA After Dark. We do this after every single Sharks game. We also have a weekly wrap-up show, The Pucknologist. You can find that all here on our YouTube channel. So if you would, please do us a favor. Hit subscribe. Hit the notification bell. It'll let you know every time we go live. Or check out everything on our website, TealTownUSA.com.
And we have 69 viewers again.
Actually, no, we're 71 now.
It's hilarious. Did we see he traded by the deadline? Well, we know that Doug Wilson is notorious of saying, you know, that there's no day off until the trade deadline. He's constantly working the phone, seeing what's available, what can be done. Remember, the Sharks right now only have 1.2 mil in cap space. So, we've seen Doug Wilson pull the rabbit out of the hat many a time. It's just, it really makes you wonder. I think maybe we would have seen more clamoring for a move if Radil had not been as good as he is.
Right, and I think that that's what happens when you slot Radil up in the top nine, is that you kind of put LeBanc now into the fourth line role. Radil is playing like, you know, a veteran, and, you know, he's
28.
Right. But there's kind of hasn't been that drop off in his game yet. So, you know, it's really good to see him doing well. As far as the defense goes, though, I mean, we're seeing right now that two of the mainstays are being taken out of the lineup, and you're able to replace them with the two scratches. And all of a sudden your blue line, you know, still hasn't missed a beat yet. So, to me, you know, Doug being a former defenseman, I think he'll probably keep those two extra defensemen, because you can't have enough. And especially going into the playoffs, if you need, a spare that has played and has played well, you know, I think that you're going to have to keep that around.
Our keeper of the chat, Laurel, sending me some questions that had come in. Bland Fletcher wants to know, is the top three in the Pacific right now, Calgary, Vegas, and San Jose, are they already a lock, or is it just a matter of position at this point? I mean, can Calgary sustain this? Who knows? Vegas coming along. Anaheim has kind of drifted off. Smart money is that, what you have right now is the top three.
Yeah, and just for a little bit of context, I mean, the Sharks are only 3 points out behind Calgary with the same number of games played. Vegas has an extra game played on both San Jose and Calgary. So if San Jose wins its game in hand, it could be, you know, at 57 points, and that'd be good for second place. We've got some games against Calgary still, which are going to be very, very important. You know, you look.
Hopefully they go better than the last one did.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't see how that we could repeat that horrible, horrible game. But I mean, you look at the difference between third place and fourth place in the Pacific. I mean, that's 10 points. And 10 points is pretty darn hard to make up in this league, especially with the amount of parity you've got. And then if you were thinking about Vancouver, I mean, and no, I didn't say Vancouver. I meant the team from British Columbia.
You don't have to tell us. We know.
You know, the Canucks are at 44 points, but they've played 45 games. And, you know, we've got 11 points up on them. I don't see them foresee them being a threat, and neither Edmonton for that matter. I mean, really, you just got to look at the positive differentials that are happening right now in the league and especially in the Western Conference, and those are the teams that belong in the playoffs, and you're seeing that right now.
Yeah, and to add on, we are seeing this separation. I remember like maybe a month ago, if that. That there was like a 5-point difference between first and fifth in the Pacific. So we're definitely seeing the separation. Vegas killing it right now in a 6-game win streak. Don't tell me that game is not going to be tough on Thursday. Getting back to the chat, Sleepy Mofo wants to know how much longer will LeBanc be short-leashed before he'll see a game from the box? I don't know that LeBanc is going to sit until Braun and Vlasic are back. I mean, because unless they put Charche back down and bring up Perron, I suppose, or Gambro, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way I see it happening too, AJ.
And I'm pretty sure, I mean, Lacey will know, but I'm pretty sure Gambrell's actually been playing more wing than center over the last few games. So.
Yeah. The other point that I wanted to bring up is, you know, the Sharks as the third place team in the Pacific still has more points than the top team in the Central Division.
You talk for all the bad talk about how bad the Pacific is, looking actually fairly similar, except for me, you know, not even the bottom, actually. No, in points top to bottom, it looks very, very similar to the Central now.
Yeah. Well, and Lacey, yeah, hitting me up that, yes, Cambrell's been playing right wing as of late. Then Matt Dynan wants to talk about how Donskoy has really brought his game lately. Again, I think that goes to, like I was saying with LeBanc not seeing success due to maybe the line mates that he's with, maybe Donskoy is seeing success. If you notice, Donskoy's success kind of coinciding with the fact that he's on Hurdle's wing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right now, Donskoy is at 22 points, 11 goals, and 11 assists. You know, that's really good to see. He's trending in the right direction, and right now he's on pace to eclipse his career totals. You know, right now, he is got 22 points in 44 games. So if we extrapolate that out, we're looking at 40 plus points. His best, you know, was his rookie season, 36 points. But most of those were assists. So, you know, having Donskoy add another layer and another threat on that third line is great. And I mean, can we even call that a third line? I think most teams would say that that's a second line. You know, in Hurdle right now has got 34 points. Kane heating up as well. It's really good to see that Kane is bringing his A game. Guys, I thought in the last 2 minutes of the game tonight, Kane was just laying the body out. He wanted that win. You could see it in the way he was playing.
He seemed pissed.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, I think Phaneuf maybe had something to do with that. If you remember early in the game, him and Phaneuf kind of going at it. And, you know, an angry Kane. I don't know.
Don't look now, AJ. Kale is attacking your pillow again.
Yep. an angry Kane, I don't know, is as productive as an angry Jumbo, but either way, I like that he does have a feistiness to him. But it's funny when you look at the Sharks lines right now. I don't know that it's like there are three lines and then the bottom line. Like I can't call the Couture line the number one line. I can't call Jumbo the number one line. I can't call Hurdle the number one line. It's like three lines of two. It's a little reminiscent right now, the way that they're rolling, reminiscent of Vegas last season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good comp. I think it's also fairly similar to the way Nashville plays, where Nashville doesn't have a dominant center, a number one line center, but that has three really solid lines and then kind of a drop off fourth line. I think we just really have to look at the resurgence of Timo and Hurdle and I mean Pavelski as well. But I mean, you know, those two kids really having great seasons is really, you know, it's really bringing Doug Wilson's vision of having, you know, the fresh blood kind of move this team along. I think it's coming together, and it's good to see, you know, because we saw Hurdle suffer so much with the injuries, and to see him finally be on a pace to break what his rookie season was, you know, that's a long time coming for him.
Well, he's really starting to come into his own. Like I said recently, I think it's definitely kind of Couture's team now in some ways, or, you know, co-owned by a couple different guys, but Hurdle's looking like another one guy's like that is going to really kind of be the future face of this team. You know, he's not at point per game pace, but I mean, you know, 39 games, I think that would be 34 points, unless I haven't refreshed the thing here, but yeah, not far off a point per game pace.
Yeah.
I will. Yeah. For me, the guy that I, okay. So we've talked about Donskoy trending in the right way. Kane is obviously started to trend in the right way. You know, the guy that's making me nervous, and I don't know if it has to do with the fact that Hurdle is not up there with him and Couture anymore, but Meyer, I mean, Meyer hasn't scored a goal in like, I'm not even sure when the last time he scored a goal was. I think it was at least 7-8 games ago, and versus Anaheim, no points. Versus Edmonton, no points. 1 point versus Calgary, no points versus Colorado, 2 points versus Tampa. I mean, obviously that was pretty nice, but no points tonight. So, you know.
He's definitely in a cold streak. I know at the beginning of the season his shooting percentage was absurdly high, so I figured you'd probably fall back down to earth a little bit just because that's usually how those things go. Plus, I mean, he was playing out of his mind early in the season. I'm not too worried about cold streaks now as I will be in April and May because, you know, if he can kind of find that same pace he was at early in the season, late in the season, and in the playoffs, hey, I'm not going to worry about cold streaks in January.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we got to worry about too is the effort level. I haven't seen a drop off in the effort. He might be squeezing his stick a little hard, but look, he doesn't need to be keeping up the point pace that he was when you've got the other guys kind of stepping in. Look, guys, I mean, Evander Kane is shooting at a 9.2% shooting rate, and he's, you know, his average career average is like 13-14%. So, you know, you're going to have that guy kind of come back into form and, you know, just be better. So that's another source of goals you're going to have. You know, Pavelski's kind of gone a little cold. I mean, he's got some points in the last few games, but, you know, you could see him kind of resurge again. Sorensen as well. You know, he's gone a little cold, but guys, I mean, when you've got the depth really chipping in, you can afford cold streaks. You know, you can afford guys trying to wade their way back in.
And the general formula for success, because, you know, no guy is going to be a point per game player, or most all of them aren't going to be. You need a plurality of your guys scoring at a given time. And as long as, you know, a little over half of your guys are currently, you know, doing really well and finding the back of the net consistently, it makes up for those ones who are not.
All right, AJ. Well, I think we should get to everybody's favorite segment.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We need just puck guy on the soundboard. It's wraparound.
Oh, dear Lord. Let it go, brother. Let it go. Let it go.
common courtesy to give him a reach around.
Yes, we will. Let's reach around the league today. Pretty, I mean, you know, it's Monday. It's typically, you know, it's always Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is the big ones. But Monday Night Hockey brought us Predators over the Maple Leafs 4-0. Toronto getting shut out in their own barn. I don't know what the hell was going on with PK Subban and Patrick Marleau today, but if you don't know, get on Twitter. There's tons of video of it. I don't know what in the world was going on between those two tonight, but there was clearly some issues. Ekholm, Subban, Sissons, and Fiala do the damage for Nashville. Hey, Rene didn't throw the netting to anybody, so it's a good game. The puppy luck continues for St. Louis, 3-0 over the Flyers in Philadelphia. Shen, Tarasenko, and Perron are your goal scorers there. Boy, lots of shutouts today. The Wild, 1-0 over the Canadiens. This is what you get, Carey Price, for announcing that you're not going to the All-Star game this season. You get shut out. And the damn Flames, man, you guys continue to impress. 4-3 over the Blackhawks. Yeah, we can't get that crazy over that victory. Chicago is not your dad's Chicago.
Are you saying the Flames are red hot right now?
You just had to do it, didn't you?
Yes.
He had to do it. And that's for you. Gaudreau gets to Monahan and Hathaway. Hathaway on the shorty. Kane, DeBrincat, and Neal before Saad scoring for the Blackhawks. Rittich putting another one in the victory column. Yeah, Mike Smith, you're not long for this world in Calgary, my brother. And then, of course, finally, the Sharks 3-1 over the Kings. Again, Donskoy, Hurdle, and Thornton with the empty netter on the power play. Those are always my favorite, an empty net power play goal. So that is your wrap up of what is going around in the NHL. Again, we do this after every single Sharks game, so we will be here tomorrow after Edmonton. Also, hit us up on Instagram. We do a pregame report every day, every game day. Give you a quick 60 seconds of what you can expect for that game. So I think we're about done with this one, boys. Eric, your final thoughts on where the people can find you on the social.
Well, final thoughts is the Sharks are doing well. And you know what? If they continue playing like this, they are going to win some hockey games. And they are going to position themselves for a good stretch run. As far as where you can find me on the social, you can find me on all that social media garbage using my first name, Eric, that's spelled with a K. And Landy, that's L-A-N-D-I. Use my first name, Eric, last name, Landy.
Chris?
Final thoughts is even a skeptical person like me is finally starting to think this team has gotten it together, because I think it was 13 out of the last 17 they've won or something along those lines. So looks like they're on track, and right around that time they need to round into form in January, because January, February, March, that's when you do work. That's when you get your playoff positioning. So I'm looking forward to what should be a playoff run, hopefully a long one deep into June.
That'd be nice. Where are they going to find you on the social?
Oh, you can find me at ChrisJWS on all the social.
On all the social. So I am AJ underscore strong on all the social, Insta, Twitter. Oilers are 2-7 over their last 9, people. Don't think that these guys don't want a win in a big way. So look out for them tomorrow. Got to shut down Draisaitl. Got to shut down Ratty, obviously, and McDavid. We'll see who we get, if it's going to be Talbot or totally forgetting his name right now. Talbot or Koskinen. Took me a minute. So we'll see how it is there tomorrow following Edmonton. We'll see you then. Again, thanks for joining us. Subscribe if you would, please. TealTownUSA.com, on Twitter, on Instagram. Hit the notification bell, please. And that will do it. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow after Edmonton and San Jose.
Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Good night, everybody.